It was a moment I can't forget. If I chose to, it would still come back to me. It was a moment in which my son told me he wanted to catch a big fish. And I can remember him as a little boy saying, "Dad, I want to catch a big fish, not a little fish." You see, up until this time, whenever I took him fishing, it was only at a pond, only little places where I knew where the shore was. And then my son began to realize that there are bigger fish out there. And so he began to tell me, "Dad, I want to go catch a big fish." Well, you can imagine what I thought. I'd never been a fisherman to speak of, never had any skill set really in that area, but I had a little son with big eyes looking at me. "Dad, I want to learn how to fish." And then I began to ponder about who it was I knew in church that was a good fisherman. And I started thinking, Larry, I think he's the key. So I ran into him at church one day and I said, "Larry, I need to ask you to do me a favor. I need you to take me and Caleb out fishing." He said, "I'd love to do that." I said, "Let me tell you this, here's the key. He wants to catch a big fish." And I said, "So you got to help me. You got to help me accomplish this task." He looked at me and with such confidence, "That won't be a problem. We'll catch that fish." And so the day came and we went out and we went fishing. And the only thing I'd ever caught were little things. You could just take right off the hook, put them right back in the water. But this guy knew where to go in that lake. He got us in his boat and he took us out to the deep water. He knew exactly where to fish. And Caleb, at the right time, hooked this big fish. If I could capture that moment again, I would do it 100 times. Because what happened to him was, all of a sudden, what he dreamed of came true. The only difference was, he was not professional. It was not his career. It was not anything other than a hobby. So you can imagine what it's like if that is your assignment for life and someone challenges it. And it's exactly what happens, because what happens in Luke chapter 5 is a story that you and I are quite familiar with, but perhaps we've never looked at it the way we will today. Because today we begin a brand new series entitled The Authentic Disciple. In other words, somebody who understands what it means to really follow him. And what you're going to discover is, by the time we finish this series, it all comes back to this story. Because when Jesus gets in Peter's boat, he ultimately transitions his life into the assignment he has for life. And it's interesting because today you're going to learn something. For every one of us, there's one assignment. Because Jesus makes it very clear. Jesus says, from this day forward, you'll no longer fish for fish. You'll fish for men. And he changes the focus and entire emphasis of all of Peter's life. And it may be today that as we sit in his house, we all need a wake-up call to look at what is authentic in our life, to look at what it is that God has for us. And I want to ask you a question. When you think about that, have you ever had an assignment you struggled to complete, that you struggled to be able to get done? In other words, you thought you were supposed to be able to do it a certain way and it got the best of you? You see, the reality is that what happens sometimes is a task comes our way and it seems like it's an easy do, but then it becomes more challenging. We have to give a little bit more. We have to sacrifice a little bit more. We have to serve a little bit more. We have to be more sensitive than we ever thought we would have to be. And all of a sudden, we realize something. This task is bigger. And what I want you to see today is this. As we gather in his house on this day, he has an assignment for our lives. He has something he wants to do in and through each one of us. And that assignment connects into us discovering how to be a disciple. So in Luke chapter 5, you find, I want to just look at, if we could, verses 1 through 11 today. And what I want to show you is that Luke writes this gospel with an intent to give detail to the most amazing story that ever existed. How do we know that? Because in Luke chapter 1, he makes it clear. I've written this to make sure you get the detail. And it's interesting because the detail is where you find definition in order to move forward. And so he writes this in order for the detail to come forward and to clarify anything that might be confusing. And what you're going to see today is when Jesus interjects himself into Peter's life, he does it so that he will be sensitive to what it is God is calling him to do, that he will have clarity in seeing what it is, the task is before him, and then from that, he would stay open to accomplish what it is God intends. So today, I want you to think about, maybe your assignment is different than what you thought. Maybe you thought your assignment was one thing, and perhaps he's speaking to your heart in a different way as you look at this passage. Look, if you would, Luke chapter 5, verse 1. Notice what the Bible said. Now it happened that while the crowd was pressing around him and listening to the word of God, which tells you something. What transpired here was, watch this, Jesus is obviously launched into his earthly ministry. He's doing things that are absolutely mesmerizing to people, and people are following him ever. Look back at chapter 4 just a moment and notice, if you would, verse 42. When day came, Jesus left and went to a secluded place, and the crowds were searching for him and came to him and tried to keep him from going away from them. I want you to think about it for a moment. So much was happening. Everyone was discovering their assignment in life, and they wanted to be with Jesus all the time. And the Bible says very clearly that Jesus went away to a quiet place and then found himself back in the middle of all those people who were looking. So he finds himself at the Sea of Galilee. And what I want you to see today is we're going to see this text open up in our hearts and lives, because if you look at verse 11, notice what happened. Notice what Jesus says here. What is revealed about what Jesus did in their life. Verse 11, when they had brought their boats to land, they left everything and followed him. When you read that, your very first thought is everything. Everything. They set aside everything in order to encounter what it is that God had for them. Which shows you something. Anything we hang on to can cost us our assignment. And it wasn't just their physical possessions. It was everything that they viewed as valuable to them. Because sometimes we hang on to things that are really, really valuable to us, but they're insignificant to someone else. And what they did is they set aside everything. Now you can imagine what they probably had to tell their family. Hey, guess what? We gave it all up. We decided to follow him. We're letting it all go. And no doubt some of the family said, wait, that's pretty bold. Don't you think you ought to hang on to your stock? Don't you think you ought to hang on to your car? Don't you think you ought to hang on to these things? And the reality was what Jesus did was he changed their life forever. And what I want you to see today is this. When God gives you an assignment, it is not a momentary assignment. It is something that lasts for an entire lifetime. So you think about discipleship. Now think about this for a second, because oftentimes a person will hear the word disciple and begin to think, what does that all relate to? And let me show you what it does. When someone encounters discipleship, it has to do when their hearts are open and their minds are willing to change. In other words, my heart opens up and I hear what it is God is saying, and my mind says, you know what? That's the right thing. That's the right way to go. That's what I should do. And here's what happens to it. Oftentimes, our hearts are closed because life is good. Things are rocking along well. We don't want anything to get in the way of that. And as a result, we end up instead doing it our way instead of God's way. And what I want you to see today is this. When your heart is open, things begin to happen. You begin to see things transpire. And last night I had the privilege of being at a celebration for Ron Sherwood and Frankie, their 50th wedding anniversary. And it was a special time, and got to see several of you, but got to see many other folks, their friends from all these different generations that they've had friendship with. But the most mesmerizing moment for me, beside the fact that they love each other so much, was the fact that Ron gave testimony at the end to his wife being the second best thing that ever happened to him. I don't know if you've ever been in a moment like that, but I said, man, I hope he can fish his way out of this, because that sounds like a really challenging thing to say. And you know, and as he said it, of course, I had prayed it, the number one reason that was first in his life was Jesus. But then he gave a testimony of finding Christ. And he said, because of Jesus, we made it 50 years. And I don't know if others who were there heard that, but I said to myself, you know what he really did? He just testified their assignment in life, that what God had done in and through them only could be done by him. But what happened? Our hearts are open. Our minds are willing to change. Let me ask you a question. You ever made your mind up about something even though it was wrong? In other words, I'm going to do it this way no matter what. Even though it's not the best way to do it, but you just say, you know what? It's my way or the highway. I mean, what happens is, that's exactly what happens sometimes in our spiritual journey. We forget to keep our hearts open. Because when our hearts are open, something begins to happen inside of us. All of a sudden, God begins to speak with clarity. What was confusing becomes clear. And what was challenging all of a sudden becomes affirming. And all of a sudden, we start seeing, I see God at work. And what I want you to see today is this. In this confusing, convoluted culture we live in, that's bombarded with information, beyond all of that information, we all need something to inspire us. And what it is Jesus. And what happened was all of a sudden Jesus shows up and he does something amazing in the hearts of those that he loves the most. And what's interesting is because today we see a practical lesson. Because what does Jesus do? He meets Peter where he lives. And this practical lesson opened the door to a life-changing encounter. And here's what I want you to see. Don't miss it. He knows where you live. He knows where you work. He knows what you think before you think it. You ever had a scary thought? You ever had a thought and said, man, I wish I never had that? And you realize it's there. He knows your thoughts. He knows your heart. He knows what you're up to. And what happens is we sometimes think he's never going to get to our boat. Our boat, we've had it dry docked for a long time. Not connected to our assignment, not responding to what it is God has for it. And what I want you to see today is this. This assignment he gives you, he doesn't give to somebody else. He gives it to you. And he gives it to me. He doesn't say, oh, Gerald, you shouldn't do that because that's someone else's assignment. He gives it to each one of us. And that assignment, we have to either accept the assignment or reject it. We either do what it is we're supposed to do or we set it aside. And what happens in this particular encounter is all of a sudden, Peter is confronted with the reality of accepting his assignment. And he takes that assignment so serious, that he doesn't miss a beat in doing what it is God's calling him to do. Because the Bible says, when he gets done, he falls on his face before God. And he falls down and recognizes he is in the very company of Jesus. And what I want you to see today is this. There needs to be more moments where we fall on our face before him. And we see him for who he really is. Because when we fall on our face, watch this, then we look up to the eyes that knows the very essence of our life and the very essence of why we live. And so today, as you think about that, here this practical lesson opens up. And all of a sudden, we come to a question that I want you to think about throughout this message. What happens when he gets in your boat? What happens when he shows up? In other words, when he shows up, does something different happen? And I'm telling you this, when he shows up, I promise you something different happens. And for Peter and James and John, they were professionals. They knew how to fish. The only problem was they went the wrong place and they caught nothing because they were doing it based on their skills. And Jesus brings them to an awareness of something absolutely profound. So today, I want you to think about in your own journey, what happens if he punches your ticket for your assignment? And what you're going to see is none of us get a pass. We don't get a free pass for away from this assignment. This assignment defines the very story of our lives. It defines where we go, what we're about, what it is he wants to do inside of us. And so I want you to imagine that you're here and you're in church and you're going, wait. I don't like the idea of an assignment because that means I have to do something. And the reality is, when you begin to do something, your life begins to open up. For some of you, you may be sitting here realizing something. It's impossible to get the assignment because he has never come into your boat. He's never come into your life. And you may be going, I don't know, how do I find him? Listen carefully. What Jesus came to do was to seek and to save those who were lost. In other words, he looked for people who knew they needed the answer. And he took them to the answer, which was himself. And when he did, he changed their lives forever. What I want you to see today is this. If you're here, and maybe you've been in this house, but you haven't found him yet, this is a great day to find him. Because what you see in this story is here is the amazing story of some men who were gifted. But beyond their giftedness, God blessed them. And what I want you to see today is oftentimes we are gifted with skills and talents and other things. But all those things are to be fine-tuned into our assignment in life. What it is that God wants to do in us. Because if we miss his assignment, every other assignment pales in comparison. In other words, if we miss the assignment God has given us to do, then we miss what it is he wanted to accomplish through it. And at the end of our journey, instead of our story being amazing, it's sad. And what I want you to see today as we think about being an authentic disciple, someone whose heart is open, whose mind is willing to change, say, I want to do that a different way. I want to accomplish what it is God intends. I want you to see what transpired as Jesus gets in the boat. Look, if you would, let's begin again in verse 2 and following. Verse 2, and he saw two boats lying at the edge of the lake, but the fishermen had gotten out of them and were washing their nets. And he got into one of the boats, which was Simon's, and he asked him to put out a little way from the land. And he sat down and began teaching the people from the boat. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, put out into the deep water and let down your nets for a catch. Verse 5, Simon answered and said, Master, we worked hard all night, caught nothing, but I will do as you say and let down the nets. And when they had done this, they enclosed a great quantity of fish, and their nets began to break. So they signaled to their partners in the other boat for them to come and help them. And they came and filled both of the boats so that they began to sink. But when Simon Peter saw that he fell down at Jesus' feet, saying, go away from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. For amazement had seized him and all his companions because of the catch of fish which they had taken. And so also were James and John, sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. And Jesus said to Simon, do not fear. From now on you will be catching men. And when they had brought their boats to land, they left everything and followed him. When you read this, you realize here's the amazing story of those who end up closest to Jesus. How did it all begin? It all began by them simply being willing to yield to a very clear assignment. Put your boat back out in the deep water and watch what happens. And today, as you look at that, you see the story breaks into two pieces, because in the beginning, Jesus is sitting in Peter's boat and he's teaching everyone. And you can imagine what it's like. It's being pressed together real tight. I don't know if you've ever ridden a subway in New York City, but it's one of the most unpleasant experiences of a lifetime, because people press against you and they don't all smell fragrant either. And so you have all these people with all these aromas coming upon you, and you're sitting there, you're pressed together. You don't have any idea for sure what station you're getting off, but you realize as quick as possible you're off that train because you're pressed. And what happens is Jesus, these people keep coming at him, pressing on him, pushing towards him. And so what he does, he gets in a boat to push off from the shore a little ways where he can still teach. And as a result, there are many people who are listening. And what I want you to see today is what happens when you get in a boat. When he gets in your boat is this. You learn how to obey and listen. Because can you imagine how open they were, those who were on the shore? I mean, can you imagine they were sitting there going, I want to hear everything. I don't want to miss anything. I want to hear exactly what it is he said. And what happens oftentimes is even when we read the Bible, we don't always catch everything that it says. Because we let things get in our head instead of keeping our hearts open, and we miss some of what it is he's trying to say to it. And so here they are. They're open to obey, open to listen. Because here's what they realize. He is the real deal. Watch this. They had had those in Galilee and other places, they had had so much religion, so much exposure to religious thought, that when Jesus began to speak, they realized this is God speaking. This is God speaking to them. And what I want you to see today is this. When you're open and you're willing to obey and listen, what does it do to you? It creates sensitivity inside of you. All of a sudden, you regain something that sometimes you lose. You get sensitive. And that sensitivity begins to speak to you. And it's interesting because his word opened the heart and spoke to the heart of every person who was open and sensitive to him. In other words, when he began to speak, they realized this was something that could take me where I'm supposed to go. And what I want you to see today is this. The one thing that takes you where he wants you to go is his written word. Why do you think there's such a bombardment on the Bible? Why do you think there's so many people that try to discredit this infallible word? Because I'm going to tell you what you realize. The adversary knows it, and those who are outside of who he is know it. If this book is closed, the potential for openness diminishes dramatically. But when this book is open, something begins to happen. It begins to speak to who we are. It begins to challenge our hearts and spirit. It begins to cause us to go, you know, woe is me. I'm a sinful man. It begins to grab hold of me. It begins to speak to me and show me what it is he has for me. And this week I was reading in Proverbs 14 and some interesting verses there, because what you really discover is there's a wise way and a foolish way. There's the person who yields himself to the God's word and God does something in them because they're sensitive to it. And then there's the person who misses it. So watch this. Here's the story. Chapter 1 unfolds. Jesus is in the boat. They pushed out a little bit. He begins to teach. All right? And then all of a sudden we come to that next part of the story. Because all of a sudden, look if you would, verse 4. When he had finished speaking, in other words, when he'd finished telling the crowd everything, what does he say here? He says, he said to Simon, put out in the deep water and let down your nets for a catch. And it's here that he begins to do something inside of Peter. Because what he wants to do is he wants to see if he is willing to enter the deep water of life. In other words, he wants to see if he's willing to follow. It's interesting because what Jesus is trying to show them, when you are a disciple, you are a disciple maker. You are connected to evangelistic fervor inside of you. In other words, you want to make sure you see somebody else come and know him. That's what the disciple really does. He reveals what they've known to others, and that knowledge begins to transform. And so, all of a sudden, he says, put the net out deep. And verse 5, Simon answered, said, Master, we've worked all night. We've caught nothing, but I will do as you say and let down the nets. And when they had done this, they caught the great quantity. They called their friends over to help them. And here's what I want you to see. The openness that they experienced was because they did not yield to their expert opinion. And what I want you to see today is this. This expert opinion can never rule over personal obedience. In other words, just because someone said, this is the only way you can do it, that expert says that. And you begin to think, well, maybe that's right. For example, there are people that do not believe that God can transform America. They believe that too many things have gone too far. We've slid too far down a slippery slope. But when I read God's word, I just want to say to all of us, let's put it out in the deep. Let's see what he can do. Let's entrust this nation. Let's entrust the families. Let's entrust the people. Let's entrust everyone to him and see what he does. And what happened is, you discover very quickly, is oftentimes people begin to convey these expert opinions. And after a while, you hear them three or four times, you go, well, that must be right. That must be true. That must be something I have to believe. And listen carefully. For Peter, his whole life, he'd been a fisherman. It was what he did. It was his skill. And Jesus, a carpenter, who could work with wood, who was not focused on fishing, gets in his boat and calls on him to go out into deep water. Here's what I want you to see. When he calls, don't question who he is. Don't question how he works. Surrender to what it is he wants to do, because when the carpenter comes to call, he intends to build something in you you could not build in yourself. You see, the truth of the matter is that all of a sudden, Peter had to set aside all this expert opinion. Now, when you read this text, you have to also wonder about James and John in the other boat. I mean, think about it for a moment. Here's James and John. They're in the other boat. They're watching. They probably are not close enough to hear anything, but they're watching. Now, by the way, they're the same frustrated fishermen that Simon is. They're the same connection point because they've all been out together. They're friends. They've been fishing, caught nothing. But they're sitting in their other boat. And can you imagine what's going through their mind when all they can see but can't hear? And all of a sudden, Jesus tells Peter, put those nets back out again. Now, I can only fathom that for those who are watching, they have to be going, we just did that all night and nothing happened. And here's what I want you to see. Sometimes you have to fish a long time to catch what it is God intended. But don't quit fishing. Just keep going to that deep water. And don't listen to someone else's expert opinion. You instead entrust it to God. I read an article this week about those who have faith in the midst of battles with cancer have a dramatic advantage over those who have no faith. And as I was reading that story, I thought to myself, I'm sure expert opinion says, well, you have this diagnosis, that's all that you have the story to. But the reality is, God is always the final say in every issue. He is the one who's the author and finisher of our faith. So today I want you to think about it. What would happen if all of a sudden you open yourself up by way of sensitivity and say, you know what, I want to be who God wants me to be. I want to fish for men and I want to accomplish His purpose. You see, when someone is authentic, they understand what they live for. And what happens here is all of a sudden they begin to get out, they begin to catch all these fish. I mean, a lot of fish, a whole boatload. No doubt if there was a limit, they had exceeded their limit dramatically. So much so they said, bring the other boat, fill your boat up too. Can you imagine? Think about it for a second. All of a sudden, empty boats are full. And they're not full because of their skills. They're full because of their obedience. And what I want you to see today is this. It is not our skills that take us to the throne. It's our obedience. Because when we get obedient, God begins to work. And so today, as you think about your own journey of faith, what if God's saying to you, just be open. Quit listening to all those expert opinions. Zero in on what it is I have for you and watch what happens. The story gets even more interesting because when all the fish are caught, something dawns on Peter. Something dawns. Look at it with me if you would. Verse 8. But when Simon Peter saw what had happened, he fell down at Jesus' feet saying, go away from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. For amazement had seized him and all his companions because of the catch of fish which they had taken. I want you to get this in your mind and never forget it. This was the first time Peter saw Jesus for who he really is. He was seeing Jesus for who he really is, and something happened inside of him. And here's what I want you to see today. When we see him for who he is, something happens inside of us. Our lives are transformed. Our hearts are changed. We're motivated to accomplish what he intends. But you've got to see him for who he is. You can't see him for who somebody else says he is. You've got to see him for who he is in your own heart. Because here he falls down, and he falls down and something happens. For the first time, he sees clearly. He has clarity of what it is God's showing him. And what you discover is this. Only in the deep water of life, can you really gauge who he really is. In other words, you have to go deep enough to get beyond the shore. And I had a friend that years ago, he lived by this saying, the only real faith is when you get in a boat and you get far enough out in the water that you can't see the shore. That is faith. And I remember his words whenever I read this text, because I have no doubt they're a long ways from the shore. And they're loaded down. And all of a sudden, something begins to happen inside of them because they're out in this deep water. And they realize that it's in the deep water of God's very best for their life that they begin to experience life the way he intended. Can you imagine for a moment? Think about it for a moment. Whether you're in a balcony, whether you're downstairs, what if he's calling you into the deep water of obedience? What if he's saying, come home to where it is you can accomplish the greatest things in life, that you can accomplish his purpose? You see, what happens is sometimes when you get to that deepest moment, something begins to happen inside of you. And for Peter, although he was listening as Jesus taught while he was by the shore, he learned his greatest lesson when he's out deep water. And sometimes it simply requires of us to be willing to say to him, yes, yes, not maybe, not someday, not I could, not I would, not I should, but I will. And something begins to happen. And for Peter, his life was never the same. Indeed, when you think about his encounters and experiences, something happened so transformational that he set in motion, setting aside all those fish. I want to think about the profitability he set aside in one moment. He, James, John, they leave their boats. They're full of fish. Now, probably when they walk by their other fishermen, friend, hey, guess what? We're not fishing fish anymore. You can have all our fish. Because probably the other people out there fishing too, they didn't catch anything. And all of a sudden, they get this, the other friends get a blessing, and you can't help but believe that at some point, they run into their friends again in Galilee, and they're still fishing for men. And what I want you to do today is to think about what happens when you get sensitive. You start seeing things you don't always see. You're aware of things you might miss. And when you become aware, something begins to happen inside of you. And that's what happened in this story. All of a sudden, Peter's light goes off and he goes, wow, this is Jesus. And what I want you to see today is that when you lift him up, when you lift him up and you see who he is, something begins to happen inside of who you are. And the reason we sometimes don't see what it is we dream of the most is we don't lift him high enough. Listen, lift him above your problem. Lift him above your peculiarity. Lift him above the pressures of life. Lift him above the program you put in play for your world. And lift him up and see what happens, because all of a sudden, he begins to become everything inside of you. And when he is everything, it changes the way you live your life. Well, you can imagine that here's a story, a real snapshot. And here's what I want you to see. In life, sometimes he gives us snapshots that change the spiritual reality of our entire world. In other words, sometimes a momentary experience says something to us that so transforms the way we live. And that's what happens here, because the Bible says that in verse 9, for amazement had seized him. In other words, what happened was all of a sudden, he was so amazed he didn't know what to say. Now, if you read the Gospels, you realize, and you read the accounts of Peter's life, you realize that Peter was one of those guys who was a roller coaster guy. He would get very excited and then get very down. He'd get pumped and then deflate. And you can imagine at this moment, he was on the top of the roller coaster. I mean, he was on the top, and he had scaled to a place that only Jesus could take him. And indeed, he would find other moments where he went down. But when it was all said and done, by the time you find the book of Acts opening up, you find a man. You find a man who understood his assignment in life, and it all began in his own boat. And what I want you to see today is that your assignment begins in your boat, your home, your car. It begins with you. And look on, if you would, because I want to show you one other thing. Because what happens when he gets in your boat is one other thing transpired that's so transformational. Look at me, if you would. Verse 10. And so also were James and John, sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. And Jesus said to Simon, do not fear. From now on, you'll be catching men. And when they had brought their boats to land, they left everything and followed him. When you read that, do not fear. Do not fear. Can you imagine what was really being called on them to do? What he was really asking them to accept by way of assignment? He was telling them to position themselves where they surrender to faith, not fear. Because what fear does, it destabilizes, while faith stabilizes and gives you a foundation to move forward. And what he said was, do not fear. Can you imagine how profound that must have been for Peter to hear that? That all of a sudden he hears Jesus say, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. You don't have to be afraid at all, because I'm getting ready to teach you what sacrifice is really all about. Really all about. Because when you grab hold of understanding sacrifice, you come to the place where you let go of everything that's not eternal. You set it aside and say, you know what? That's the assignment God has for me. I was conversing with someone this week, and they were sharing me the story about what had transpired in their life. And it was interesting, because the end of their story was this. They had looked for Jesus in every place, but found him in a profound way when he became the Savior of their life. And when I read that story, I thought, you know what? That's the story we all ought to be able to tell. It's what happens when he gets a hold of us and changes our life forever. So I end with this story. I was a young teenager when I found myself not just battling eyesight issues, but I also found myself out on a boat with my brother and my sister in the deep water in Germany. It was a lake that the depth of the lake went way down many, many, many meters. And I'll never forget this, because at that time, I had no awareness of what it is God wanted to do in my life. I had no awareness of where he would ever take me. I had no awareness of anything about his plan. I was just a teenager trying to figure out how not to be blind. And I can remember so vividly that my brother, we had this boat that we had rented, and we were out on his boat. And up to that time, I thought I had the skills to swim wherever I needed to swim, because I was young and I had muscles, I could do it. And so my brother was motoring the boat, and I said, you know what, I think I'm going to jump in the water and I'm going to swim to the boat. So I jumped off the side of the boat and began to swim. And the harder I swam, the farther the boat was going. It was further and further and further out. And my brother was looking back like, well, maybe he'll catch you at some point. And After a while, I began to realize I had no more energy. Everything I tried to do on my own was gone. And out of that, I began to sink. I don't know if you've ever seen anybody drown, but it's not a happy sight. I went down once into the water. I came back up. I went down a second time. While I was struggling not to drown, my brother turned the boat around, came back towards me. And the third time under, my brother reached his arms underneath me and pulled me out of that water and saved my life. You see, in my own strength, I couldn't make it to the boat. But my brother, he took me from my inability and showed me what would happen when someone would save me. And I'm going to tell you what Jesus does. Jesus shows Peter, when you get out in that deep water, I'll wrap my arm around you and I'll bring you safely home. And my question to you today is this. So you see, because they left everything for what was eternal, my question today is simply this. Will you accept your assignment? And your assignment may be, it may be that He has something for you that you never dreamed. It may be that today you need to give your heart to Him. And you've never understood until today that He wants to get in your boat. It may be that you're here and you realize something. You need to be in a place where your heart is fixed on His purpose. And will you realize that as you've sat in God's house today, this is that place. If you hear God speaking to you, I want to encourage you to follow Him and watch what He does. Let's pray together. Father, thank You that in deep water, there's always the One who rescues us. Thank You, Lord, that You're the answer to our problem. You meet us at the point of all of our need. You encourage our hearts. You strengthen us to accomplish Your purpose. You give us the amazing wisdom to know that You're the answer and You're the assignment for all of our lives. I pray, Lord, for every person here, their heart would be open to follow what it is You have for them. And if there's someone here that maybe this is the first time they've ever been challenged, they've ever been challenged to let Him get in their boat, I pray, Lord, that they would surrender themselves to You and that You would let their hearts feel Your presence. I ask You, Lord, to speak in the heart and life of every person here. And there's someone here without You, that they would find You today, that they would say yes to You, and they would let us help them find the way. Lord, if there's a young man in this room who needs to follow You by committing to being a part of this fellowship, I pray You speak to him. A young lady, I pray You speak to her heart. A couple, I pray You speak to them. For those who are looking for a place to call home, this is the place that we call One Heart. Speak to their hearts. In Jesus' name, amen.